How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is April 22nd, 2014 here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. A lot of news to get into today. And Dave, what's going on?
Not too much. What's going on?
Well, we got Raw to talk about here. We are a couple of weeks away from Extreme Rules. And what did you think of the show?
I thought that the Cena thing was real interesting. I when I watched the thing, I almost thought that this is like almost them teasing the idea of Cena turning on the fans because the fans turned on him first. And I asked some people about that. And the one thing is that merchandise sells like ridiculously well. I mean, to the point that he's right now doing five times that of the number two guy that's in the last month. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, I don't know that they're going to turn him. That's right. I mean, that would make me very leery of turning him, especially when the merchandise is mostly selling to kids. And turn would probably, you know, with kids, would probably kill the merchandise. So, I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird how that happened because, I mean, logically, it's like the fans, you know, I mean, the way they put that thing down and the way that the fans voted and everything, it's like you, I know the storyline is that Bray Wyatt's getting more and more fans, but it's like, you know, the fans turned on him and put him in that 3-on-1 situation. They voted for him like, you know, he was a heel manager that they wanted to get destroyed. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. You can see like Cena, you know, and Cena was facially selling it like that was the deal. So they obviously have some ideas in mind for the summer. I just don't know what they are.
The big story, I guess, going into the show was that I think they rewrote some stuff involving Daniel Bryan.
Pretty sure that they were. I mean, I think that angle was probably going to happen, but they probably just did it first just to get him out of the, you know, out of the way so he could go home.
Yeah, he was alerted that his father had passed away.
You know, his father was only 57.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's so sad.
He came back from his honeymoon and got the word. So they opened the show with him. He came out and Brie was in the ring cheering for him. And it was clear immediately that he was having a really tough time. Oh. And I think that they knew, we don't want this guy to have to say anything. He'll probably break down. And let's just get this thing going. Let's get it over with. So he came out and Stephanie immediately came out, said her wedding gift to him was a match with Kane at the pay-per-view, which is literally the worst gift you can get anybody ever. And she said, keep Brie away from him, no matter what you do. And at that point, Kane's music hit. No Kane. Stephanie was acting like she didn't want him to come out, but of course he came through the crowd, mask on and everything. They had a wild brawl. Steph was screaming at Kane to stop, and he completely ignored her. Long story short, he gave Daniel Bryan a tombstone on the floor, a tombstone on the steel steps, and finally the EMTs came out, but he tipped over the stretcher and then gave him another tombstone on the table. And it's kind of funny because they sold it like the tombstone on the table was the worst of all, even though the table didn't break, and I would think that the ground is probably a lot harder than that table. But that was a death blow to Daniel Bryan in the storyline.
The steps would be the worst.
I guess.
Because
steps will give a little.
The floor, they didn't peel the mats off, so you had a little bit of padding on the floor. But the steps are like the steps. I mean, the table has a little bit of give, right?
Those are aluminum steps. They're not really 500 pounds.
Well, I know that, but still, they're still like, there's not a lot of give in them, though.
Regardless, taking three tombstones.
I mean, they're all devastating.
Taking three tombstones, you would think a guy would be out of action for weeks or months, but they announced at the end of the show that he had a stinger, and he's going to be all right. So they just got him off of the show quickly. I guess he'll be on the show next week, but who knows? So there you go.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I don't know about the house shows or anything either. I guess we'll try to find out about that too.
The big deal was Stephanie screaming at him. She called him a bastard, led to "You're a bastard" chants.
Screaming Kane, not at Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. It was a great angle, but
it was what it was, you know. It was a great angle, though. Yeah. I mean, but it was out of necessity too, in its own weird way.
Yeah. But again, they may have done this exact same angle regardless of what happened, just probably later on in the program.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, or maybe it wouldn't have been as severe or whatever. But I mean, it was. Look, they have a, they're trying to sell you on, you know, a lackluster match. So when you got a lackluster match, you know, it probably requires a harder angle than a normal match. So they gave it to you. You know, I mean, they sure did everything they could. You know, you couldn't do more. I mean, if it's not going to work now, it couldn't work, right?
It would be nice if they did any sort of decent follow-up with Kane and Stephanie McMahon, but they didn't.
No, not the rest of the show. Kane wasn't even back the rest of the show, was he?
Nope.
Nope. And Triple H was kept out of the whole situation because his voice was gone, among other things. And he had his own stuff to do. And she wasn't around again either, was she?
Nope.
Yeah.
We had Wade Barrett and Sheamus Intercontinental Championship Tournament. Pretty good heat. They kicked out of each other's finishers. There was a wild spot where Sheamus did this running crossbody, and they both tumbled over the top rope to the floor. A lot of this is awesome chance, and finally Barrett hit him with the bull hammer. Clean pin! That's two in a row for Sheamus. So likely turning heel would be my guess sometime soon, since that was...
They need heels.
That was the plan a while back, so we'll see if they...
It was the plan a while back, that's true. It was the plan when he came. It was the plan when he came back from his injury.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be healed long before now.
So we had Hugh Jackman announcement. He's coming back next week, and Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow are feuding with him on Twitter. So apparently, they're going to be doing something with those guys.
Yeah, they'll probably do a match with Hugh Jackman in Dolph Ziggler's corner this time.
That's right.
Yeah, because Sandow's kind of like the guy. He can speak really well, and he's a foil for the. You know, it's not like they're doing anything with him. So it's like him. It's him or Heath Slater, right? You know, the kind of like the guys that are the guys who can job for anybody because they're not going to push him anyway.
Let's see. We had the announcement that we were going to be able to pick Cena's opponent. You'd be able to pick either Bray Wyatt or no,
no
I'm
not
sorry,
Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper.
All three of them, Luke Harper or the other two.
Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan, and all three. I actually watched some of the post-game show, and they were trying to come with this idea that the people voted for it because it was the only way they could get Bray Wyatt in the ring, was doing a 3-on-1. So it was like, well, maybe the people were voting to help John Cena, but that's not what they were doing.
That's some crazy logic.
Yeah, that's some crazy logic. Well, they did bring that up sort of on TV beforehand, I think, you know, so I think they were looking at that as like a face-saving thing. But it's like, I mean, that was pretty much a pretty negative referendum on if people like John Cena.
We had a Bray Wyatt promo. He said tonight it would be proven that the fans were standing against John Cena. They don't love you anymore, he said. And I take more of them with me every single day. And then he's saying, I got the whole world in my hands.
That is the angle, because Cena said the same thing. You know, the angle is just that, you know, every week more and more fans are becoming Bray Wyatt fans. I just think that, you know, you do that and you're risking turning the guy babyface because he's and don't get me wrong. Obviously, that's where he's going to wind up. But I think it's too quick.
Got the whole crowd to sing with him as well, so.
Some of the crowd.
We got 3MB and Hornswoggle against the Matadors and Torito. They aired the exact same video that they aired on SmackDown, hyping this up. So the little guys started, and finally there was a moonsault by Torito. Jinder broke it up. They did a double team senton, and then the bull pinned Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, he did a Fez press off the ropes while they held Drew McIntyre up in like a double back suplex position. And, yeah, Torito pinned Drew. And, it was what it was, you know, comedy relief.
Evolution arrived, all in suits. And so, yes, the pantless streak of Randy Orton has ended after all these years. Dave had a wacky outfit on, sunglasses. Hunter had no voice. The Shield, he said, thought they were the best around, but then Daddy came home and spanked him, he said. And that must be very humiliating. Orton said the fiercest group of all time is back. They had an Evolution video package, and then down came the Shield. Ambrose said, last week you beat us down, but it was not the first or last time we've been beaten down. Said Randy Orton was a cream puff, which actually came off better than it sounds when I'm reading it here, but still not a term I would have used. Anyway, Seth got to cut the money promo this week. Said it's going to be an all-out war in 2 weeks at Extreme Rules. Everybody in Evolution is looking out for themselves, but the Shield is all looking out for each other. Said they put a nail in their own coffin last week. And then Roman says, listen, you guys got a choice tonight because we're going to put this mic down and we're going to go up there and we're going to kick your asses. And as they were heading up the ramp, Evolution had the heel locker room come out and back them up. And then Hunter explained that I told you all what Evolution meant. It means you adapt or you perish. And then he gave everybody his cocky face, and it was great. So that was your build. It was not as good as last week for this particular match, but
it was effective though. I liked it.
They're trying.
Yeah, no, I mean I thought it was good stuff.
We had Adam Rose still coming.
Yeah, he tweeted he was going to be there.
Well, I think the bus has actually been there for 2 weeks, but they haven't used him.
Oh, okay.
So I guess he was there. But he's busy partying. He doesn't have time to debut.
Okay.
We had a graphic that alerted everyone that Legends House was far more viewed on the network this week than the Warrior documentary, which saddened me. It's not like Legends House was bad, but everybody needs to watch that Warrior documentary if you haven't already.
Yeah, the Warrior documentary was great. It was awesome. I watched it a second time.
It was very, very good. Best of Hall of Fame is coming up on the network this week, and Cole's new catchphrase is that the WWE Network is just like Netflix, just better. I don't know if that one's going to catch on. We'll see.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah, we'll see.
The Usos face Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Rybacksel did commentary. We had wedding footage from Total Divas, if you did not see the show last night. Quick match, no heat. Cody went for the crossroads, got super kicked and pinned. And then afterwards, he got pissed off, slapped Goldust. It looks like they're now breaking up. So for those of you that were happy that they did not have a match at Mania because they should stay together, maybe they should have just broken up and had that match at Mania if they're breaking up now.
Yeah, I mean, they've really devalued them as a team. I thought that as a team, they could have a really good run with the Usos. And, I mean, actually, the action in the first couple of minutes of this match was really good with Goldust and the brothers. But it's obviously they're probably going to have a very short run, and then it's going to wind up with those guys going against each other. And then, I don't know, it's going to be tough for both of them. I mean, Cody will probably be the heel, judging from what we saw. Goldust as a babyface is going to probably wind up, you know, in the Fandango, you know, the babyface Fandango position. I just don't see them doing anything with him, which is too bad because he's wrestling great, but and you know, he can talk, but I just don't see it. I don't know. Just don't see them doing anything with him as a single. And Cody as a heel, they just, you know, I don't know how far they're going to go with him as a heel. They could go a little bit with him, but I just thought that as a heel team. I think that they could be a real solid, strong team. Hell of a lot better than Rybacksel, that's for sure.
I'm not sure if we made a mistake earlier in this report, but Wade Barrett beat Sheamus. Somebody on Twitter said that...
No, Wade Barrett. Wait, you said it. Wade Barrett won when Sheamus stuck his head through the rope.
That's right.
And hit him with the bullhammer elbow.
I don't know what this person is talking about here. All right, back to this deal here. Rybacksel attacked the tag champs afterwards, so that's your pay-per-view match, I presume.
Yep.
And that was that. So there you go. Plug for Slam City. A lot of plugs on this show, including at one point Michael Cole calling Legends House hysterical. I thought it was all right, but I don't know if I'd call it hysterical.
It wasn't hysterical, but Gene Okerlund's got great comedic timing.
He is very good.
Yeah, I thought he was the highlight of the show. And, you know, I mean, it had its charm. It had its charm. I like Gene, and I like Piper, actually, too.
So did my grandma. Big fan of Roddy Piper.
Yeah, some of the other ones, you know, Tony Atlas with the laughing thing, you know, kind of got overdone real quick.
We had Emma and Layla, the feud that will never end. Santino and Fandango were out there. Fandango ended up eating the Cobra outside. Emma got the win with a pink Cobra. She's got her own Cobra now. I never knew that the Cobra Strike was such a difficult maneuver to execute, but Emma proved tonight that apparently it is. And then afterwards, her and Santino got their Cobras tangled, which led to JBL making a joke, asking if they were cobralating.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The gimmick was that the Cobras, like, you know, they kept grabbing each other, and then they'd have Santino to pull his Cobra apart, and then the Cobra would, again, like, go for the other Cobra, and so, yeah. It was what it was.
At least we got new merch for Emma.
For Girl Cobra.
Yeah.
I guess that's the idea.
We had Renee interviewing John Cena. He said his fate lied in the hands of the WWE Universe. He was going to do whatever they voted for. Loud dueling chants. Said the singing is getting louder. And he said maybe Bray really does have the whole world in his hands. And he said if he made it through tonight, a cage would even the odds. And you can put him down, but you can never put him out. It's Cesaro versus RVD in a tournament match. Cesaro has new music. It sucks. It's an air raid horn and then rock music. So maybe they are trying to prove that he was better off with no music. Because this music was terrible.
He probably was better off with no music compared to this music.
God, this music sucked. So it's totally out of character for him. Heyman at least did his promo. Heyman has material literally for the rest of his life now that the streak has been broken.
Well, he just says the same thing over and over again.
There's nothing.
Do you know that he, during that commercial break, went 3 straight minutes of saying that, you know, just, you know, talking about the same line over and over again, which was his whole promo on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Said the same line for like 2.5 minutes there too.
Sure. And Cesaro, he noted, still the king of swing. As noted, they went to commercial, they came back, and he was still talking about how Brock had conquered the streak.
Yeah.
So RVD's music finally hit. They actually got lost early, and then they tried to do the spot again, and they got lost again.
Yeah, this wasn't, I mean, it ended up okay at the end, but this was a rough match.
Oh, yeah. So RVD made his big comeback. Sad, by the way, that the Andre the Giant trophy is already long gone. Heyman doesn't even hug it anymore like he used to hug the WWE title when Punk had it. RVD big comeback, split-legged moonsault. Cesaro hit him with a tiger driver, nearly dropped him right on his head. Just brutal. Went for the swing, but out came Swagger. RVD did a dive off the post, but Cesaro hit him with a forearm in midair. Swagger then threw Cesaro into the post. And so RVD, who Cesaro had thrown back into the ring, won via count out. So it's RVD versus Barrett next week, with the winner becoming the number one contender for Big E Langston, who can't even win on SmackDown.
Probably Barrett now.
Did you watch SmackDown yet?
Yes.
This goddamn finish with Big E Langston and Alberto Del Rio made me...
Oh, the arm bar, no break at 5?
Infuriated.
Yeah. It didn't.
Why? You can't beat Alberto Del Rio, for the love of God.
Finish, you know, but they do weak finishes on every show. I mean, this finish was a so-so finish.
I don't get a weak finish for a guy that you're doing a tournament to build up a contender for him.
I think in their mind they didn't want to beat Del Rio, and I guess
they beat him the previous Monday. He lost in the tournament.
Maybe they didn't want to beat him twice.
So don't have him wrestle on the show then.
I know. You're right. I agree. They should if they should have just let Big E beat somebody. They have a whole roster full of guys, and if you don't want to beat a guy in your roster, you've got a whole world of guys that you can bring in, and you know, especially for like a short nothing, because it was a nothing match anyway.
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it was this great worked match, and we just have no way out, but we have this great match to show people. This wasn't anything special as a match. It was just there. And they'd already done it, you know, before.
So Cesaro...
Yeah, it was just a crappy finish.
Cesaro went after Zeb here, was going for the swing, but Swagger made the save, and so Cesaro laid him out, gave him about 14 swings. Heyman disappointed, but things happen. Had the Brian update. He suffered a stinger. He had lost some feeling in his extremities, but the prognosis is good, they said. Had a Total Divas preview for next week when Ariane loses a cat, shakes her ass.
The Natalya and TJ's cat.
Yeah.
When they're out getting going to the sex therapist in New York.
Don't leave your cat
at home.
I
will say this. That storyline that they're doing, that storyline, when I watched that footage of the fake party and the losing the cat, that, you know, if that wasn't like the most scripted, I mean, I know the whole show's scripted, but my God.
Oh, man, you haven't watched the last few weeks if you think that's scripted.
Oh, my God, though.
Did you watch last night?
I didn't watch last night, no.
So the sex therapist tells Natty and TJ that they should do role playing. And so
isn't that their job?
They've got a, well, in the bedroom. So they actually,
what, they're going to pretend to be like Ultimate Warrior or something?
Well, it's not quite that good, but they have surveillance camera footage. The role playing is that Natty is a naughty schoolgirl and TJ is a burglar. And so they set up a camera, a surveillance camera outside so that you can see poor TJ having to sneak around his own house. And he sneaks, where he's like on his tiptoes like a cartoon villain, and he climbs through a window. It's preposterous. Yeah. And apparently it led to Natty having a great professional wrestling match the next day.
Wow, was this the day before the AJ match or something?
I don't know what match it was. No, it was not the AJ match because she won. She had a good performance because she'd gotten lucky the night before with her husband.
Oh, God.
Who was a burglar.
Oh, God, please.
Oh, yeah. This show's something else.
Poor TJ.
Dude, TJ.
I feel so bad for him that you know, he's got to be, you know, like his whole identity. Like, they never put him in, like, on Raw or SmackDown or not even on Main Event. I mean, he never wrestles. And his whole being is being like, you know, the husband of this, and he's such a talented wrestler, being the husband of this, you know, might as well be Vinny, except Vinny's funnier, you know what I mean?
Well, TJ's got a different kind of his character on the show is he's just the world's biggest mama's boy geek. But at least he comes off as extremely likable. He's like one of the only people on the show that actually comes across as likable in every single episode. So at least he's got that going for him.
You know what? I always think the Trinity McRae comes off as likable.
She comes off extremely likable as well.
She's likable.
Her and Brian and TJ.
And her husband's likable, and the rest of them are all like half crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We had Renee interviewing RVD.
Well, Daniel Bryan is likable, too.
He's always likable, yeah.
Yeah.
Renee interviewed RVD. Cesaro said thank you to Zeb because you can't beat me on your own. And RVD says, oh, yeah, is that so? And Heyman says, that is so. How can you sleep at night having taken a victory like this? And RVD then said he had a little bit of advice for Cesaro, which is keep your wallet and your home away from this man. ECW reference. But Paige Nixana, could have sworn I just saw this damn match.
Your wallet and your home. Yeah, well, you did on Friday. It's Friday and SmackDown. Same match.
Paige did get two decent matches out of her, but this was still a struggle. For an Oksana match, it was all right.
I thought the Friday Oksana match was about as good an Oksana match as there is. This one...
not as good.
This one, I mean, it wasn't crappy, which I guess is a positive. But it was... crowd was dead. Oksana did kind of like a... I think she wanted to do a spine buster, but she didn't quite do it. But I know it really wasn't a very good match at all, but I guess I've seen worse by Oksana.
So Paige hit a hard knee to the face in her Scorpion cross lock and got the submission, which led to Jerry Lawler announcing to the world that he had seen a sign in the audience that he really liked. And I was like, man. Out of all the signs that we've seen over the last two decades, Lawler finally has seen a sign in the crowd that he really... I wonder what it might say. And what did the sign say? Paige Power!
I know.
Wow. There you go. Cesaro versus Swagger signed for SmackDown, by the way.
I thought that they would do Cesaro and RVD. The only good thing is that...
Maybe that's next Monday on Raw.
No, because RVD's wrestling Barrett next Monday.
Oh, you're right.
So it won't be that. I suppose they could do it on the pay-per-view. And maybe that's why they're doing Swagger on SmackDown.
So Barrett wins, and then maybe Cesaro could cost RVD the match. Barrett wins, Cesaro, RVD at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's the case, but I could see that happening. That actually makes sense. Because I'm presuming it's Big E and Barrett.
We had the Alana segment with Rusev. She now comes out blatantly flaunting her body before talking.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Oh, yeah, it was a fashion show this time around.
Yeah.
So we had Rusev and Sin Cara, no heat. They actually gave Cara a fair amount of offense, and then Rusev killed him.
I mean, it was offense, but Rusev didn't, like, sell any of it.
No.
The idea was that you know, he doesn't sell anything.
And this led to Lana. What happens is it goes back and forth, and then Lana finally screams, "Rusev, crush!" And then he does. And I have no idea why she has to speak broken English to Rusev when they both speak the same language, but that's the gimmick. So there you go. He crushed him. That was that.
And Rusev's wrestling Xavier Woods and R-Truth in a handicap match on the pay-per-view. So,
yeah. Handicap match at the pay-per-view. That sounds exciting. So we went to the poll. Who do fans want John Cena to face? And it was Cena versus all the Wyatts. That won 53% of the vote. 38% for Harper in second place. I like how they booked this after they'd already scheduled a cage match to keep all interference out. Said very loud dueling chants. It was a traditional tag team
rules.
Well,
you know what? Here's the thing. So they had the three guys, and they still didn't beat Cena.
That's right.
So it's like.
So what does he need a cage for?
They beat him up, and he didn't get Bray one on one. So I mean, you can sort of do that, but yeah.
So he has a match. It's traditional tag rules. They beat on him forever. Bray was toying with him, dancing with his body at one point. Did the bridge walk? Finally, Cena hits a big clothesline. Did his comeback five knuckle shuffle on Bray. Hit the AA. So actually, he beat all three men because he had his finish hit on Bray Wyatt when Harper broke it up for the DQ. So I guess that is why.
He didn't really beat all three because he didn't get the three, but yeah, he had him beat.
He had him beaten. So I guess that does necessitate this cage. They broke it up. So anyway, they destroyed him afterwards, and Bray hit him with his sister Abigail, cradled his head in his hands, saying, he's got the whole world in his hands. Got two verses this time. And sang it till the show went off the air. So the Wyatts really have an awesome gimmick. Bray is great. And yeah, this was pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got Extreme Rules coming up in 2 weeks. Actually, we've got a TNA pay-per-view.
TNA Sacrifice on Sunday.
Wow. Take us through this TNA show.
Saturday?
What do we got?
The TNA show?
Yeah.
Oh God, I've got the lineup in like four different places, but I know, let me grab it. Hold on.
I'll find it for you.
It's not like, well, I got the whole thing, including the matches that aren't announced yet. Hold on. Where did I put it? Like anyone cares? Hold on.
Carefully hidden.
Yeah, I got it. Here we go. Samuel Shaw and Ken Anderson, loser goes in the nut house bus, gets taken to the psychiatric ward. Eric Young.
Yeah, can you repeat that one more time for everybody, just in case they thought they might be hearing things?
It's the loser has to go to a psychiatric ward.
The loser gets committed.
Yes.
If anybody didn't think Vince Russo was back, there's your evidence right there.
Yeah.
What a stupid stipulation.
It gets worse. You watch the show. You know, I mean, it's funny because it's like there were things on the show that were just, I don't know. So then, let's see, Eric Young and Magnus for the TNA title, Bully Ray and Bobby Roode in a tables match, Gunnar and James Storm in an I Quit match, Seiya Sonata, and Tigre Uno in the final, the best of three for the X Division Championship, which obviously whoever wins is going to be facing Kenny King since they've already started in that direction. Madison Rain and Angelina Love in a knockouts match. The two matches that are going to be added.
Actually, before you announce those two matches, because you mentioned Kenny King, I was in New Orleans, so I didn't see the Impact a couple Thursdays ago. But did they really do a deal where they've been doing videos forever about Kenny King returning to Impact?
Yes.
And on his big return to Impact, he shows up at the building and asks who he's wrestling, and they say you're not booked, and he left.
No, he came in.
They came in, but they just told him you're not on the show.
Oh yeah, and then next week he wasn't on the show either, and that's why he had to wrestle MVP, because he wasn't booked on the show.
Is it that hard to get guys over when they come in?
I think that was their idea of getting him over. I just don't know if it worked. But
well, I can tell you it didn't work.
The idea to get him over was to have MVP think he wasn't good enough to be there. So that's why he did the promo this week saying that you wouldn't put like Peyton Manning or Derek Jeter on the bench, because he's trying to compare himself to Peyton Manning and Derek Jeter.
But they did put him on the bench.
But they put him on the bench.
Because yeah. He's a geek.
Yeah, they kind of tell you that he's not quite good enough to make the cut to get on the show. But then again, they did the same thing with Austin Aries too, and Austin Aries is a good wrestler.
So they do the same thing with EC3.
EC3's on the show every week now.
He's on the show every week, but the storyline was that he's no good, and
they dropped the he's no good part of the storyline.
Maybe that's how they figured out that didn't work.
Now the guy who's no good is Spud, who's his tag team partner.
Well, at least Spud, that makes sense that he's no good.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad they figured it out for EC3 after.
I think Spud's hilarious in small doses, because he's got something. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, talk about overexposure. You know what I mean? They just do way. They think that he's just this great, great character, and so they put him in like multiple segments every show. And I just like, God, didn't I see this guy already tonight? And you tell me he's no good anyway. His whole gimmick is that he's no good. And it's like that. You know, when the guy's gimmick is that he's no good, you really don't want to see him for very long. You know, let him do the one funny facial or the one physical joke and move on, rather than just coming back and not being in, you know, I'm a lion, roar, you know. That was cute the first time. You know, the third time, it's like, God. Anyway, the other two matches are Kurt Angle and Willow against EC3 and Rockstar Spud, which is kind of like, oh, my God. And then the Bromans and the Wolves, you know, who wrestle every single week and always go to a DQ or some screwy thing. And anyway, that's... Maybe they'll do the title change on this pay-per-view.
Maybe perhaps. Since they do a DQ every week, they could announce there's no DQs in the match. Or would that
perhaps
be
that will be announced on Thursday. I don't know that stipulation yet, but it would make sense that would be the step, yeah. Or that if, you know, Zema Ion interferes, they cut off his fingers or something.
What?
Yeah, it's a way to keep him from interfering.
They're going to cut off his fingers?
Well, isn't that like a good like thing to keep you from interfering?
I guess.
Dissuade you from interfering?
I guess.
Yeah. They don't use it. Maybe Russo will do it now.
Huh.
Or John. The thing is, it's like you can't get mad at Russo or Lagana, because in the end of the day, the guy in charge of creative is John Gaborik. And I'll just say this. It's like, you know, John Gaborik never did creative in WWE, so... Exactly why he's in charge of creative in TNA, I don't really know. And now that I watch the TV every week, it's like, I really don't know even more. But it's like, at some point, like, does somebody figure out that, like...
No. Like, no one will ever figure it out.
Like, it's really not good at all. And so we need either a change of direction, or if we can't change the direction because the guy doesn't know any other direction... We need a new guy, and I'm not saying that, you know, which is which. I'm just saying that they need a new they need a new concept. I mean, their concept of what a TV show is right now is, and what they do with the characters, it's just like it's not going to be, you know. I mean, they haven't been successful in a long time, but it's, you know, I mean, all they do is they draw a certain number of viewers, and they, boy, they were down. I'll tell you what, that it's not, look, that. You know, that audience being down, whatever it was, 28% from the week before, that's not due to Eric Young winning the championship. However, if Eric Young winning the championship meant anything, it wouldn't have been down that much. So in a sense, it's like it was a, you know, it's like it's a move with your top thing that at best meant nothing, but probably meant less than nothing. So why did you do it? Because it's that hard to figure out. Do you understand your fan base well, not well enough to know that, you know what I mean? I guess not.
So there you go. What's going on with Jones and Davis?
Well, they're not they're not fighting each other on Saturday. Jones is fighting Glover Teixeira, and Davis is fighting Anthony Johnson. But what happened was a couple days ago, somebody asked Dana White about Phil Davis. And Dana White made a comment, I think, like, you know, Phil Davis, I don't know that he wants it enough, or I'm not sure exactly what he said. But it was kind of a diss on Phil Davis, kind of like he's good, but he's, you know, doesn't really want it. So Phil Davis heard that, and he took it to heart. So he came on this conference call, and he was going to show Dana White that he wants it. So he went after John Jones, who he's not fighting, and just started, you know, tearing him up. And John Jones was going like, you know, why are you doing this to me? We're not even fighting. And going like, you realize if you get knocked out by Anthony Johnson, how stupid you're going to look for doing this. And I mean, you know, Davis was ready because Davis is pretty good friends with Gustafson. So it was kind of like Alexander Gustafson nearly turned you into a pirate. And, you know, you were afraid of Alexander Gustafson. And Jones shot back and was just like, tell me the rounds that he won. And I think that I think Davis was like, well, I had to fight a draw. So you still would have retained your championship, you know, like that. But yeah, they went back and forth. And I mean, look, it got people talking a little bit about Phil Davis today, and he needs that, you know. So I'll tell you what, I watched, you know, I watched Ultimate Fighter Brazil last night. And Chael Sonnen, I mean, he is such a babyface on that show. It's like, I don't know if he is in Brazil. I need to find somebody in Brazil. I actually have a friend in Brazil. I'll ask him tomorrow morning. But I don't know if the Brazilians, you know, because he is the foreigner, I have a feeling they don't take him as a babyface, but he is such a babyface on this show. And Vanderlei is like just like a thug, you know? And, I mean, Dana cut the promo and kicked out Andre Dida, and Vanderlei was kind of like half apologetic, but, you know, was like, well, if the situation was reversed, he was like, because Dita's the guy who sucker punched Chael several times, too. I mean, it was flagrant, and Dana was just like, you know, I don't know if he used the term you should be arrested, but, you know, Dita, you're off the show, like that. And he was yelling at both of them and just going like, you two guys want to fight? Because, you know, we spent all these years, you know, trying to get away from this mentality that the guys are a bunch of thugs. Then you go and do this, you know,
I love the line where he goes, you guys want to fight for free? I'd love to not pay you.
Yeah, that's true. He said that too. But, you know, the way that fight was, I mean, freaking Dida, like people think that fight was put this way. Dida was throwing freaking sucker punches on the guy to the back of the head. He could have, like, hurt the guy. I mean, and he did hurt Chael a little bit. I mean, he could have hurt him a lot. And Vanderlei, you know, Vanderlei has to go to the doctor, okay, because he's got a problem with his hand. So he comes back and his hand is all wrapped up, even though he actually missed the punch. But I think that, like, when he got taken down, I think he was throwing some punches from the bottom. And Chael was throwing punches from the top, too. But he was throwing some punches from the bottom and had a space between his something or other and, you know, had a little bit of a hand problem. But when one of the guys on Chael's team hurt his hand and lost, so he had to go home. And just the scene of Chael and Hortensia, which is the famous basketball player who's the coach on the show, who she's got she's an interesting character. She's got a real unique charisma about her. You know, just how she empathizes with all the guys and everything, and Chael as well. I mean, just came off as like the nicest coach that you know. Chael was like almost broken up because they had to send the guy home and Everybody was almost in tears that the guy had to go home because he has, you know, he lost, but he could stay and train, but he couldn't, since he had a broken hand, there's no point in staying in training. So they just had to send him home. So, man, I don't know. It's really curious because, like, I think that the people would still be behind Vanderlei, just my gut, because of all the stuff Chael said. But this is, like if this was on, I mean, this was like a double turn show, just the way that it all went down.
All right, this is some of the questions here. Dan says, with Kurt Angle's TNA contract set to run out in a few months, I would personally love to see him have one final run in WWE before he retires. I'd love to see him get in the ring with Daniel Bryan. Even with Kurt past his prime, I think he and Bryan would still tear down the house. Cesaro is another guy I would like to see him work with. What are the chances of him returning on a part-time schedule where he works a couple of matches a year and has the rest of the time off?
I don't know. I mean, every time his contract's been up before, they haven't wanted to touch him. But, I don't know. I'm sure he wants to go there. So it's a ball's in their court if they want him. I hope, you know, that they were very much, you know, Vince has always been, he doesn't want anyone to have a part-time schedule. That's always been his thing. But, you know, Vince has got less and less power. So it's Triple H. And I don't know, Paul Levesque's mentality when it comes to this stuff. I mean, in time we'll figure it out. But right now I don't know. But it would be, you know, ultimately it's like what he wants. You know, if he thinks it's a good move to bring Kurt back, then Kurt will be back. And if he is leery of it, then he won't. And I don't know the answer. So I can't give you anything on the odds. It was the old Vince, I would say, the odds are pretty small because that was his decision a couple of years ago. Right now, could be different.
This person says, did Hogan go into business for himself with his post-match performance after losing to Warrior at Mania 6? And how did Vince react?
Well, yes. I mean, in the sense of he outworked everybody. I never heard Vince being mad or anything. I don't know that Vince saw it as a negative because the thing is, Vince wasn't, like, the idea that they were trying to do in that match and what the goal was in 1990, okay? So the goal in 1990 was for Warrior to be Bob Backlund. But a more, you know, obviously anything but Bob Backlund in every single way. But for him to be Bob Backlund, be the champion for 6 years, and for Hogan to be Bruno Sammartino, so Hogan could headline one show, and since he's Hogan, he could outdraw or draw even with the champion. So you got two big gates, you know, every single night. That was the mentality that Vince was going with. It didn't work out that way. But on that night, it's like, did Vince realize on that night that Vince that Hogan had sabotaged Warrior? I don't think so, because I don't think that they expected Warrior wouldn't draw. It's when he didn't draw that's when they made the call. So by the time, you know, again, by the time he figured it out that what it was, and maybe he didn't figure it out, I can't even say that, but even by the time it became evident that Warrior wasn't drawing, it was, you know, weeks later, and you know, it's like I could go back and look at it, and I mean, I remember watching it and going, man, he stole the thing. And, you know, the kick out after the three count was so unprofessional. But, you know, I mean, Hogan went in there and he had his game plan. You know, I mean, he had his game plan that he was going to show that Warrior wasn't ready. And whether was the case or not, it was the case. It ended up being the case, and Hogan, Hogan helped it along.
All right, this person says, Scott Steiner was in the world title match in January and February and then wasn't even on the card for WrestleMania several years back. I know he had bad matches with Hunter and fell out of favor, but don't you think he would have been better if he had had a shot as a heel instead of a mid-card babyface right away?
Well,
what was the story?
They turned him heel with Test, right? Wasn't Test and Scott Steiner a heel tag team? I mean, so yeah, they gave him a heel run. But no, I mean, as far as coming in, I thought he should have come in as a heel, but the problem was is that he showed up and they cheered him so much, that New York crowd just cheered him like crazy, to the point that they felt they had to go all the way with him and give him a freaking championship run, championship match run, not a title, not the actual title, because they thought he was so over. And Triple H, unfortunately, felt that he was such a great worker that he could do whatever it was, 15, 20-minute match with Scott Steiner, and he couldn't. Scott, you know, anyone would have known that Scott needed to be kept to 8 minutes. I mean, he just was physically not there at that point in his career. And but, you know, their mentality at the time was main event's got to go a certain length of time, and he's good enough to carry anyone, and he couldn't carry Kozlov, and he couldn't carry Scott Steiner. There's other people he couldn't carry as well, but those two come to mind.
Alrighty, given the esteem Roman Reigns appears to be building going forward as a major player and the suggestion that Rock may not want to endure the physicality a Brock Lesnar bout would entail, I was wondering if WWE and Rock would be interested in putting over Roman Reigns at Mania 31, possibly selling it as Rock's last match, given the family association and the rub it would give Reigns. Has this been talked about yet, or is it still way too early?
I haven't heard about that. That doesn't mean it hasn't been talked about. I don't think that they're. I don't know how much they've talked to Rock about next year. And at this point, it depends on his movie schedule. I mean, if he's got a movie going on, he's not going to do WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't know that he hasn't done his last match. I don't know. I would. I mean, I know he hasn't retired or anything. I know he hasn't, like, in his own mind, I don't think he's closed the door. But I know that, put it this way, if Roman Reigns is not super, super, super hot, I would say there's virtually no chance of that match, because he is not going to want to come back for anything less than the level of interest that the Cena match has had. So he's going to have to...
Good luck with that.
What?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So if he's going to come back, it's going to have to be a super, super over guy.
It would be Brock or nobody, really.
What?
Brock or nobody, really.
You don't know what's going to be like in 9 months. I mean, but...
With Brock?
With anyone. You don't know.
I would think coming off breaking the streak of The Undertaker, Brock will probably still be relevant in 9 months.
I'm not saying relevant, but it's got to be something that Rock thinks is huge, because if it's less than huge, there's no reason to come back. I mean, he doesn't want to come back for any less interest in the match than he had the previous two. He doesn't want to come in and go down. I think, you know, and there's also the injury situation too, where, again, I don't know if these movie studios are going to be that thrilled about him doing another match after he got hurt the last time. So that's another reason why if I'm a betting man, I bet that he doesn't wrestle. But I just know he hasn't closed the door on it. But like Roman Reigns, again, Roman Reigns would have to be super, super hot as a single. And if he is, I mean, yeah, I would say it's a possibility. But right now, I would say that it's probably not on the radar.
All right, everybody, we are going to wrap it up. We got a lot of stuff up on the front page. New back issue of The Observer is going to be up tomorrow. We did our weekly call-in show earlier on today, and a lot of interesting stuff, so check it out. We'll be back in a couple of days. I got a bunch of stuff up tomorrow as well, so that's it. We'll talk to you again very soon.